Back Talk, ages 11 to 14. Now is the right time. Age 14. As a parent or someone in a parenting role, you play an essential role in your child's or teen's success. There are intentional ways to grow a healthy parent-child relationship, and growing your child's or teen's skills to respectfully communicate provides an excellent opportunity. Conflict happens in families between spouses, among siblings, and between parents and children and teens. Arguing in family life is typical. Backtalk can be defined as argumentative replies. Children and teens can respond in anger, hurt, frustration, hurtful tones, or with hurtful words. But backtalk also represents a power imbalance children and teens are trying to rectify. Power, after all, is a basic human need. Children and teens ages 11 to 14 are growing their listening, empathy, assertive communication, and problem-solving skills. Growing your child's or teen's skills to respond in assertive but non-aggressive ways is essential to their success. Anyone may face challenges with backtalk. "You can't tell me what to do," your child or teen may exclaim in anger and frustration when you say no to an unsupervised party. Your child's or teen's responses can make you angry and upset. As your child or teen develops, they must test their limits and rules to internalize them. This can lead to arguments between you and your child or teen. They will also have evolving emotional needs and sometimes lack the communication skills necessary to ask for what they need. Using the steps below can help navigate this challenge with skill. These steps include specific, practical strategies and effective conversation starters to prepare you. Why backtalk? Whether your 11-year-old is screaming, "I hate you," or your 14-year-old is crying, "It's all your fault," when they fight with a friend, establishing healthy ways of responding to life's most challenging moments is a vital skill your child or teen needs to thrive. Today, in the short term, teaching skills to respond to disagreements in healthy ways can create greater opportunities for connection, cooperation, and enjoyment, trust in each other, and a sense of well-being and motivation. Tomorrow, in the long term, teaching your child or teen effective ways to communicate their feelings and needs develops a sense of safety, security, and self-belief, grows skills in self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, relationship skills, responsible decision-making, and deepens family trust and intimacy. 5 steps for managing backtalk. This 5-step process helps you and your child or teen communicate during your toughest, most emotional moments in ways that do not harm. It also grows essential critical life skills. The same process can also address other parenting issues. Here is a tip. These steps are done best when you and your child or teen are not tired or in a rush. Here is a tip. Intentional communication and healthy parenting relationships will support these steps. Step 1. Get your child or teen thinking by getting their input. You can get your child or teen thinking about healthy ways to communicate by asking them open-ended questions. You'll help prompt your child's or teen's thinking. You'll also better understand their thoughts, feelings, and challenges related to how they feel when confronting them so that you can address them. In gaining input, your child or teen has a more significant stake in anything they've designed themselves. And with that sense of ownership also comes a greater responsibility for solving their problems. Has more motivation to work together and cooperate because of their sense of ownership. Will be working in collaboration with you on making informed decisions, understanding the reasons behind those decisions about critical aspects of their life, and will grow self-control, empathy, assertive communication, and problem-solving skills. Actions. Consider what challenges your child or teen in their ability to communicate healthily. For example, if your child or teen feels hurt or rejected, is their normal reflex to lash out in self-protection? Begin by considering the following. Ask how your child or teen feels when arguing with a family member or friend. What are some situations that make you mad or upset? Besides anger, what else do you feel in these situations? If your child or teen has difficulty labeling their feelings, you can provide them with guesses. Your child or teen will likely correct you if you guess wrong. For example, when I asked you to turn off the screen before dinner, you seemed mad. Is that right? What do you notice about what's going on in your body? Name how you physically experience being upset, whether it's a red-hot face or a racing heartbeat. What are some common ways you respond when upset or mad? What do you think the impact is on other people when you respond that way? Be sure to express empathy for negative feelings your child or teen may express. You could continue modeling by adding, "I have felt horrible too when I've gotten heated and said things in anger." It is helpful for kids or teens to know you make mistakes too, and that you also know how to take responsibility and make amends. What are some ways you can respond when you are upset or mad that don't have a negative impact on others? Use your best listening skills. Remember, what makes a parent or someone in a parenting role angry or frustrated can differ significantly from what angers or frustrates a child or teen. Listen closely to what is most concerning to your child or teen without projecting your thoughts, concerns, and feelings. Step 2. Teach new skills. Intense feelings like anger and hurt occur as you go about your daily life, so you may not consider their role and impact on your child or teen. Intense feelings can significantly influence the day and your relationship with your child or teen. Your child or teen is learning how to be in healthy relationships, and they will make mistakes and poor choices in the learning process. How you handle those moments as a parent or someone in a parenting role can determine how you help grow their conflict management skills. Learning about developmental milestones can help you better understand what your child or teen is experiencing. Here are some examples. 11-year-olds may push boundaries and argue with you as they assert their independence. They may argue with friends as they worry more about being liked. 12-year-olds may be edgy, moody, or angry easily as they deal with increased stress from school, friends, and the perceived pressure of acting older. 13-year-olds can be highly sensitive as they work to define their independent identity while still being dependent. They may feel an even greater sense of peer pressure. 14-year-olds may act like they are invincible and know it all. They may get angry if embarrassed and rejected by peers, particularly in front of crushes. Teaching is different than just telling. Teaching grows basic skills, grows problem-solving abilities, and prepares your child or teen for success. Teaching also involves modeling and practicing the positive words and tone of voice you want your child or teen to use, promoting skills, and preventing problems. This is also an opportunity to establish meaningful, logical consequences for unmet expectations. Actions. Reflect on how you currently model communication when you're upset. Any actions, words, or tones of voice you use with your child or teen will be repeated and mimicked back to you by them. If you yell, your child or teen will yell. If you criticize, your child or teen will criticize. Consider how you react to your child or teen when you are upset. Ask yourself, if my child or teen repeats what I say when I am angry and in my tone of voice, will it be acceptable to me at home, in public? Consider which words, actions, and tones you want to see in your child or teen, and which you do not. Next, decide what words, actions, and tones you do not want to use, so you only model what you want to see and hear. Research shows that the following are fighting habits that hurt others and destroy trust in one another. In fact, these will encourage more backtalk from your child or teen. These fighting habits should not be used to forge healthy communications with others, including your child or teen. Do not use physical force. Using physical force in a conflict, including spanking, signals that the individual has lost control and only believes they can regain it with physical dominance. This is harmful and breaks trust. Do not talk about others negatively when they are not present. Going directly to the person with whom you have the problem is the healthiest way to address an issue. Do not criticize. Judging or commenting on a person's character hurts the other. Instead, focus your energies and words on solving the problem at hand. Do not show contempt. Hostile humor, sarcasm, name-calling, mockery, or baiting body language harms the other person. These all involve some kind of aggression or character attack with the intention of causing harm. Do not become defensive or blaming. Pointing fingers and using "you" language is blaming. Words like always, never, or forever cannot represent the truth and break down trust. Own your feelings and role in the situation, and the argument will remain constructive. Do not stonewall. Actively refusing to listen, shutting down the argument, or giving the silent treatment harms the other person and breaks trust. Learn to use I messages. Discuss how arguments challenge adults and children and teens at a family dinner. You want to communicate in ways that do not harm one another. Share an example of an argument you've had and how each person responded without judging what they did. Now try an I message using the same issue. Here's the structure. I feel, insert feeling word, when you name the words or actions that upset you, because. This structure helps the individual take responsibility for their feelings and role in the problem while avoiding you-blaming language. Try it out in a parent-teen argument. I feel frustrated when you keep playing, and I've told you it's homework time because I feel ignored. This tool can feel empowering to a child or teen so that they regain their power without harming you or another. Continue to teach your child or teen to repair harm. A critical step in teaching children and teens about managing anger is how to repair harm when they've caused it. Harm could be physical, like breaking something, or emotional, like hurting someone's feelings. Mistakes are a critical aspect of their social learning. Everyone has moments when they hurt another, but that next step matters in repairing the relationship. Here is a tip. If your child or teen finds it challenging to give you a feeling word, offer them options and ask which ones fit their true feelings. This will help them expand their feelings vocabulary. Step 3. Practice to grow skills and develop habits. If you seize the opportunity, your daily disagreements can allow your child or teen to practice new, vital skills. Practice grows vital new brain connections that strengthen each time your child or teen works hard to constructively manage feelings, words, and choices. Practice also provides valuable opportunities to develop consequential thinking, or the ability to anticipate the impact of a particular choice and evaluate whether it's a positive choice based on those reflections. Actions. Allow your child or teen to assert their needs in small and more significant ways, like ordering for themselves in a restaurant or encouraging them to discuss a grade with their teacher. Be sure to consider how you create the conditions to support their success, like offering coaching or guided open-ended questions to prompt thinking, so your child or teen learns to become their best problem solver. Share a range of feeling words regularly to become more comfortable expressing feelings. Practice I messages on more challenging problems and various issues, including friendship conflicts. Then, when in a heated moment, gently remind, "What might an I message sound like right now?" Practice deep breathing to help you calm down when you have spare moments together, such as while waiting in line, driving in the car, or at bedtime. Step 4. Support your child's or teen's development and success. At this point, you've taught your child or teen how to meet their challenges with skill and persistence, and you are allowing them to practice so they can learn how to do those new tasks well and independently. Now you can offer support when needed by reteaching, monitoring, coaching, and when appropriate, following through with logical consequences. Parents or those in a parenting role naturally provide support as they see their child or teen fumble with a situation where they need help. This is no different. By providing support, you reinforce their ability to be successful, teach cause and effect thinking as they address problems and conflicts, and helping them develop skills in taking responsibility. Actions. Initially, your child or teen may need active support to pause in the moment. Use, "Let's pause so our brains can catch up with our feelings." Make some agreements and be clear about your expectations. "I want to make sure we both are clear about agreeing to have this conversation. We are both committing to, and to not." Recognize effort using "I notice" statements with a positive tone and body language to express excitement and curiosity, such as, "I noticed how you listened to what I had to say without interrupting. I appreciate that." On days with extra challenges, when you can see your child or teen is frustrated or feeling irritable, proactively remind your child or teen of their strength. You can say, "I know it doesn't feel like this right now, but I appreciate how you rise to the occasion, even when it is hard." Actively reflect on how your child or teen is feeling when approaching challenges. You can ask questions like, "I can tell you are still hurt about what happened with your friend. What do you think you might do?" Be sure to reflect on the outcomes of possible choices. Apply logical consequences when needed. Logical consequences should come soon after an inappropriate behavior and need to be provided in a way that maintains a healthy relationship. Rather than punishment, a consequence is about supporting the learning process and avoiding harm. First, recognize your feelings and practice a calm-down strategy when needed. It helps to know which calm-down strategies work best for you and have a plan. Not only is this good modeling, but when you are in control of your emotions, you can apply logical consequences that fit the behavior. Second, invite your child or teen to a reflection about the expectations established in step 2. Third, consider a logical consequence of their actions as a teachable moment. Consider the following questions before deciding. 1. What will you teach with this consequence? 2. Has a natural consequence already taken place? 3. Will the logical consequence be connected to the poor choice so that you can teach cause and effect with the action? Learning new behaviors to replace inappropriate behaviors takes time. Your child or teen will likely not do it right the first time, or even the second or third. That's okay. What's important is that you approach growing skills to manage conflict by understanding feelings, teaching new behaviors, and practicing while maintaining a healthy, supportive, loving relationship with your child or teen. Your healthy, supportive, loving relationship with your child or teen is most important. Here is a trap to avoid. Don't continually repeat yourself. Children and teens often need more time to deal with their feelings and approach someone with whom they are upset. Be sure to wait long enough for your child or teen to show you they can address their problems independently with your support. Your waiting could make the difference in whether they can solve their problems. Step 5. Recognize efforts. No matter how old your child or teen is, your positive reinforcement and encouragement have a significant impact. If your child or teen is working to grow their skills, even in small ways, it will be worthwhile to recognize it. Your recognition can go a long way in promoting positive behaviors and expanding your child's or teen's confidence. Your recognition also encourages safe, secure, and nurturing relationships, a foundation for strong communication and a healthy relationship with you as they grow. There are many ways to reinforce your child's or teen's efforts. It is essential to distinguish between three types of reinforcement: recognition, rewards, and bribes. These three distinct parenting behaviors have different impacts on your child's or teen's behavior. Recognition occurs after you observe the desired behavior in your child. Noticing and naming the specific behavior you want to reinforce is key to promoting more of it. For example, you used your breathing to calm down before responding to that person. I love seeing that. Recognition can include nonverbal acknowledgement such as a smile, high five, or hug. Rewards can be helpful in certain situations by providing a concrete, timely, and positive incentive for doing a good job. A reward is determined beforehand so the child or teen knows what to expect. It stops any negotiations in the heat of the moment. A reward could be used to teach positive behavior or break a bad habit. The goal should be to help your child or teen progress to a time when the reward will no longer be needed. If used too often, rewards can decrease a child's or teen's internal motivation. Unlike a reward, bribes aren't planned ahead of time and generally happen when a parent or someone in a parenting role is in the middle of a crisis. To avoid disaster, a parent offers to buy ice cream if the child or teen will stop arguing and leave the event. While bribes can be helpful in the short term to manage stressful situations, they will not grow lasting motivation or behavior change and should be avoided. Here is a trap to avoid. It can be easy to resort to bribes when recognition and occasional rewards are underutilized. If parents or those in a parenting role frequently resort to bribes, it is likely time to revisit the 5-step process. Actions. Recognize and call out when things are going well. It may seem obvious, but it's easy not to notice when everything moves smoothly. Noticing and naming the behavior provides the necessary reinforcement that you see and value your child's or teen's choice. For example, when children and teens complete their homework on time, a short, specific call-out is all that's needed. I noticed you spoke to me respectfully instead of getting angry. Excellent. Recognize small steps along the way. Don't wait for significant accomplishments, like the full bedtime routine going smoothly, to recognize effort. Remember that your recognition can work as a tool to promote more positive behaviors. Find small ways your child or teen is making an effort and let them know you see them. Build celebrations into your routine. For example, after you've completed your bedtime routine, snuggle and read before bed. Or in the morning, once you're ready for school, take a few minutes to listen to music together. In closing, engaging in these 5 steps is an investment that will strengthen your skills as an effective parent or someone in a parenting role on many other issues, and develop essential skills that will last a lifetime for your child or teen. Through this tool, children and teens can become more self-aware, deepen their social awareness, exercise their self-management skills, work on their relationship skills, and demonstrate and practice responsible decision-making. Center for Health and Safety Culture, 2024. BackTalk, ages 11 to 14. Copyright 2024 Center for Health and Safety Culture at Montana State University. This content does not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the Tools for Your Child Success communities, financial supporters, contributors, SAMHSA, or the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.